Welcome back to PR After Hours. I'm your host, Alex Greenwood, bringing you your weekly cocktail of PR and marketing tips that will help you and your business. Stick around. We'll get started right after these messages. If you're a regular visitor to the virtual lounge, you'll know by my commercials that we do every week that a lot of you are like, really? Can you do a no commercial, please? Just can you cut a new spot? You know that I've been podcasting off and on since 2006. And as I say in my commercial, back when we used Dixie cups and string. Well, okay, here's the great thing is that podcasting is so democratized now. Everybody's getting in the game. And PR people, if you're not in the game, if you're not there for your clients, you're behind. And you're going to be behind the eight ball with your clients eventually. To find out more about this, I'm talking to Roger Nairn, welcoming him to the virtual lounge. He's the co-founder and CEO of Jar Audio, which helps companies grow their revenue and impact through ROI-driven podcasts that make meaningful connections with listeners. Roger Nairn, welcome to the virtual lounge of PR After Hours.
Thanks so much, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right. You're not talking to a podcast newbie here. And, you know, I'm a PR guy and a podcaster, but I got to tell you something. I don't know sometimes how to frame this for brands and try to talk to my clients into it. Wondering if you could give me a hand just to start out. How do you talk to people about why podcasting is important to them and their brand?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the first thing that we do is we always like to ask the client, or, you know, do you listen to podcasts? And you know, kind of 30, 40% of them say yes. A lot of them say no. But you know, for those that say yes, we always like to talk about why. And one of the things they talk about is the intimacy of a listening experience, you know, taking some time to themselves, putting on their earphones or headphones, going for a walk, washing the dishes, lying on the couch, getting away from their family during COVID. And to us, that's one of the, you know, the key pieces for why they should be considering podcasts is because in this world of, you know, thousands of marketing messages crossing your face every day, in and out of your ears and eyes, in this world of, you know, way too much information and data and social media and news and all that sort of stuff, you know, podcasts have become this one sort of nice bastion for yourself and for taking time to enjoy the content on its own, because it's such great content. It's niche content. It's you know, with a podcast, you can find the content that's right for you. And so what we talk about with brands is this is a special medium. It's unique, and it's something that is becoming more and more prevalent with brands if you do it right.
You know, and that's the thing right there. You seized on something I was getting ready to ask you, which is why you're already a great guest, because you read my mind. That's pretty cool. All right. So we talk about niche and
why, because I have lunch today.
Yeah, really? Well, but here's the question. Will I have the customary heartburn afterward?
Well, I was going to say soup, yeah. But.
You know, that's a good point. I'll make it an onion soup. If listeners, I have a bit of a thing. I'm fine. Anyway, you don't care, folks, because by the time you hear this, I'll hopefully be all right. But when you talk about niche, this is what I have to talk to clients about. It's so funny. I just had this conversation yesterday on the PR side, not on my show side. Okay. As producer of the show, I'm not having any trouble getting great guests like yourself to come on. That's not a problem at all, which helps my brand, of course, because I have great guests and blah, blah, blah. But when I try to get my clients interested, even if it's not just to, far be it from them to even think of starting a podcast, but just to appear on one. And here's what I always hear. Well, nobody listens to them, or if they do, it's 10 people and who cares? And it's a waste of my time. And I'm like, okay, here's my argument. And I really want, Roger, I want you to set me straight if I'm wrong. This is what I tell them. First of all, I say, I would not put you up for a show that was crappy. If it didn't sound good, if it's not professional, I can do a little research to see that, yeah, maybe it doesn't have Joe Rogan numbers, but it definitely has quality outreach to the niche. And sometimes I think you can tell that just by looking at their guests and their topics.
Absolutely.
Am I on the right track there? Quality over quantity?
Yeah, definitely. And you hit on something really important, the quality over quantity bit. You know, the podcast world, when it comes to branded podcasts, when I say branded, I mean produced and distributed by a brand. You know, the brand is the publisher, essentially. They see, you know, we see on average a 70% retention rate with our episodes. Now, you know, little side note, my company, Jar Audio, we see about a 95 to 99% retention rate in the episodes. And so, wow, you know, you might not be hitting sort of TV numbers and, you know, just massive audience, but the audience that you do have is A, subscribing to that episode, or you just subscribing to your show if you've done your, you know, if you've done the job right. So it's more of a, what I would call a pull medium versus a push medium. They're actually saying, I want more of this and I want to engage with it. And then when they are listening, they're listening for an incredibly long a period of time. And just as a you know, as a comparison, the average YouTube video from you know, average sort of marketing YouTube video sees an average watch through rate of anywhere between 50% and 60%. Now we can get into the weeds of this, but you know, you can think about the expense of producing video and you know, the lighting and God help you if you need to ever edit it down the road and sort of stuff like that. You know, from an audio standpoint, it's a relatively easier lift. The editing is a, you know, relatively easier and it can live on for an extended period of time. And if you ever do need to edit it, it's fairly straightforward to do so. And so, if you're a brand, you need to ask yourself, who's our audience? Completely dig into that audience and understand everything about them and what is going to be of value to them. Because nobody's going to be listening. They're sure not going to be listening for an extended period of time. If whatever you're producing is about the brand, it has to be about the listener and delivering as much value as possible. I mean, your audience is the PR professionals. You're delivering as many tools, tips, and tricks, and insider knowledge about the pod, you know, about the PR world to, you know, to your audience. Just like, you know, any client that you're speaking to, they need to understand who that audience is. What do they need? You know, what can we teach them? How can we help them? Can we, you know, do they need to be entertained? Do they need a laugh? Do they need a cry? We all need a good cry these days. Yeah. And then deliver your content based on that. And if you keep your foot down on the value pedal, as we like to say, you really can't go wrong, because you might not get those Joe Rogan numbers, but the numbers you do have, if you're doing the job right, are going to be incredibly rich engagement.
Let me ask you a quick tactical question. Do you have an opinion on the length of shows? I try. I do two shows a week. Okay, on PR After Hours, and usually Tuesday's an interview show, and Thursday's a tip show, or it's like me. Interview show, I try to 20-25 minutes, though sometimes a juicy guest or very verbose guest goes a little longer, but I try to keep them short.
Yeah.
The tip shows are like 10 minutes or less. And I've looked at my, after a full year now of doing this, two shows a week, I've analyzed everything and looked at it. And the tip shows, the first half of the year were doing better. And then the last half, it seemed like the interviews did better. They were longer. Now that could be attributed, I guess, to quality of guests or the fact that I tightened up my interview technique. I don't know. But do you have a certain thing on that, or is it just really a show by show basis?
Yeah, it's for us, it's definitely a show by show basis. And actually it's not so much even a show by show basis. It's whatever the data tells us. Like, we'll make an educated guess when we start and say, you know, this sort of subject matter, I can't see myself listening to it for longer than 20 minutes. So let's start with 20 minutes. But then the great thing, as you know, with podcasts and just like any other digital medium these days, is you're able to see all the data. You're able to see all the analytics and the consumption data will tell you, okay, you know, let's say you've got a 60-minute episode. If you're consistently seeing people drop off at 30 minutes, you need to ask yourself a couple questions. One is this boring? are we not of interest to the listener? And therefore the drop, are we pissing them off somehow? Maybe there's a segment that you have that just is just annoying. And frankly, or maybe there's, you know, just a the guests are really not hitting the mark, but also it could just be the length. And you know, just like any other medium, it will also change depending on the environment in which we're all in. I'll give you a perfect example is, you know, we saw, kind of the sort of 45 minute episodes, anywhere between 45 down to like 20 minute episodes, going quite well. And then once the pandemic hit, we noticed that people were interested in listening longer. Or at least that's some of the feedback we're getting. And it makes sense because they're no longer commuting. There's no longer that, you know, 30-minute, 40-minute drive Instead, they're at home, they're able to take a lunch or they're able to go for a walk. And so they were okay with listening for a little bit longer. But then again, it really depends on the subject matter. So we'll test it up. We'll change it up, quite consistently.
You know, Roger, I didn't even think about that. The last half of the year, pandemic was really in full steam, you know? So yep. That could be a lot of the reason why mine's doing the way it is.
Yeah, I think just as another example of sort of how the pandemic played into things, because again, we can get into the weeds of all this is we saw a drop off in March, April, but then it immediately came back up, and it's actually, the rest of the year, it exceeded the expectations of the industry. Interestingly, though, we saw a transition from mostly mobile to still mostly mobile, but a lot more desktop usage because everyone is now home and everyone is now, they're no longer walking to work or riding the bus or driving in their car. And so just an interesting sort of change in behavior.
That's fascinating. Well, in our moments we have left, I'd love to talk about JAR Audio. I'd like to know. And that's me. I'm a PR guy. Let's say I don't do my own podcast. I come to you. Totally. What's that look like? What do you do? How what's the onboarding? Who do you work with? How does it all go? Just give me your pitch there.
I guess. Thank you. Yeah. So I came from the agency world. I worked for DDB for many years and Cossette. And so we built the agency just like a creative agency. So we've got our client leadership, we've got our creative leadership, and then we've got our delivery and sort of production side of the company. And so when you come to JAR Audio, we are a full service production agency that just produces podcasts and just produces them exclusively with brands. So we work with Expedia, we work with Lululemon, we work with RBC and IDC. So we just come into a client's world and work on their podcast for them and with them. Love to collaborate. And so what we'll start off with is a really stringent strategic phase where we'll sit down and we'll discuss who is our audience, what do we know about them, what are they listening to, where are the opportunities. We'll then look at the full podcast world around sort of where they might think the right storyscape should be. And we'll find where that opportunity is. And then we'll come up with concepts. And our creative team gets involved in developing a series of concepts. And once the client's kind of nailed, once we've nailed down what that concept is, we get into production. We're finding the right host. We're finding the right guests. We're writing scripts. We're writing intros, outros, midpoints. We're finding opportunities to create some donuts inside the ads, so inside the episodes. So we're doing some dynamic content insertion to promote our other episodes. We don't do actual advertising on our shows because we find that because it's coming from a brand already, it's a bit too much to then ask for the listener to listen. Right. Ads. So we're doing all the production. We're doing all the all the engineering. We're doing all the editing, custom music in some cases. We're finding the right needle drop. We're doing all the hosting, pushing it out to all the podcast players, and then seeing all that data come back in and analyzing the data. And then we'd have a full marketing program as well. So we're treating our show just like a real broadcast and finding PR opportunities and cross promotion opportunities and paid promotion opportunities and merchandising through Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those sorts of things. So each project is its own little world and its own little beast. And we've got teams of writers and editors and producers kind of all around North America that we pick for the right project and keep going. We're almost 3 years old, and we love to work with clients big and small, really, really specialize in turning the podcast into something highly valuable for the listener. And again, nobody wants to listen to a 20 to 30 minute ad. So, yeah. Really focus in on what we like to say, what does the world need most now that you're most qualified to talk about as a brand? And then let's talk about that, or let's lean into that and then keep delivering it.
I love that. And I assume, so if I'm an agency, I'm loving this. I'm loving what I'm hearing. If someday, when I grow up to get my big boy pants on podcasting, I'm going to just hire you guys to do all this production for me and all that. But let's say I came to you and I said, look, I've got a brand that's in my stable. I need help convincing him. Do you show up with a deck? Can you help do that? Or Absolutely. How's that work?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And we love to white label ourselves with agencies. We'll work with an agency. And we're also quite modular in the way we work. So if an agency has a great writing team and obviously knows the client best, we'll lean into them to, you know, to do a lot of the writing, and maybe we just do the production and the marketing, for example. Or, you know, maybe the agency wants to lean into the marketing side of it. We don't have a real like kind of product on a shelf. We like to tailor everything to the right opportunity and the right needs of the client and project. So we also love to be in the background if we need to be, or be more upfront and on the calls and you know, in the presentations and all that sort of stuff if need be.
I would love to know what you think is the future of podcasting going forward. Let's get us out of this, please Lord, get us out of this pandemic and back to a kind of a, the next normal. And let's just say things level out again. I'd love to hear your, as an industry leader, I'd love to hear your take on where you think podcasting is going for in general, but also for brands and the people you're trying to serve.
Yeah. So I first of all, just see the continuing to grow in the sort of medium that it is now with, you know, serialized episodes, either downloaded or streamed. We're going to see a lot more streaming as you know, 5G and everything takes off and just the connections become better. I think the area we're going to see more of is dynamic content. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're probably all, you know, the listeners are probably all experienced in dynamic ad insertion, where mm-hmm. ads are being flowed into an episode based on your demographic or geography. But what I think will be done more is dynamic content insertion based on your location or your demographic. So you might hear a unique story to you dependent on all the, you know, different points of data. And I think also just on the flip side, I think that's just a great opportunity for brands as well. You're going to see, so I think, you know, to answer that part of the question, we're just going to see more brands getting into the podcast space, whether it's doing them on their own or working with companies like ours. And I think what we're going to see is a lot more integration into campaigns, a lot more tailored podcasts in relation to specific initiatives within the company. I think the one area that I think is still relatively untapped is internal podcasts. So podcasts designed to just be pushed out internally within an organization to staff. We did one with Lululemon that never saw the light of day from a public standpoint, but was sent to over 3,500 of their staff on a global level, and was meant as an opportunity to give the rest of the world a bit of a feel for what life is like at head office at HQ. So we did some sort of TED Talk style events with some interviews with speakers. And so I think that, you know, stuff like that is really a great opportunity for brands to get involved. But I think the area that we're going to just see more of this year and moving forward is this sort of tailored dynamic content.
You know, I years ago in the 90s, mid 90s, I worked for the American Heart Association, and every week the executive director, CEO, or whatever he was, I forget, out of Dallas, would record on the phone system, right? A 10-minute, just like, it, you know what I mean? Just a 10-minute awesome. News and notes. And he would pull out like, oh, then this chapter is doing a great thing here, and we're going to roll this out, and we know you're worried about this and all that. Like 10, 15 minutes sometimes. It was very, everybody, you know, you're supposed to listen, but everybody enjoyed it. He did a great job. I'm blanking on his name. I should remember it after years of hearing every Monday, this is so-and-so with the thing. But that's so funny to hear that actually could be done now on a podcast level now with production values and a little music and some needle drops here and there, all that stuff.
I mean, I find it so strange that we're so, I mean, I get why we are, but, you know, we're so used to seeing a kind of one-dimensional email from the CEO with zero emotion in it. And even through the pandemic as well. And yes, you can, you know, yes, you can produce a video and push that out. But again, that takes a lot more production and isn't as straightforward as just turning on a, you know, a great quality microphone and connecting it to your laptop and pushing that out to your team. And I think there's that mobile element that I think is great. You know, some anecdotal feedback we heard from Lululemon is that, you know, some of the women were listening to it while they're doing their hair in the morning, and or people were listening to it when they're on the treadmill at the gym or walking into the office versus kind of opening your emails and reading this email or skipping the email. Nice part about it as well is you can actually track all the analytics around it. So you can, you can see who's listening to the podcast, who's listening to the messages and who isn't, which is also nice to see. So we just find it also gives people a nice break from screen time through the pandemic as well. To be able to still engage with the organization, but do so on a bit more of your time and not have to scroll through a lengthy email.
I like that in general. People have asked me about this show and my other show I do. And they're like, Alex, you're doing it on Zoom now, right? And I'm like, yeah, it's just easier. And they're like, well, you got video right there. And I said, yeah, I know, but I don't think people tune in to see my face sitting in my house doing this. And also
in the video.
I'm not buying the video either. I'm with you because you said three things about it that really hit me. One is I subscribe to about 40 podcasts. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. Usually I take them hiking with me or working out, or I'm doing housework or doing the dishes or mowing the lawn. I mean, they're my constant companion. It probably drives my wife crazy because I'm constant. I mean, I'll go to bed at night and listen to a podcast with my earbuds. Don't worry about it. But I do that. But that's one thing. But the video, what you said about the other thing too was editing video. I mean, to me, editing audio is no big deal. Editing video is a pain for me and it doesn't look good when I do it. And I think you're right though, that I like the idea of I keep reading that vlogs, video podcasts are the next thing. And if they are, go with God, I'm going to stick to the audio. And it sounds like I have a fellow traveler here on that.
Yeah. My issue is, unless you're going to do something unique and engaging with the video, what's the point? Because 9 times out of 10, when I see video in a podcast, it's just like watching a Zoom call. And who wants, I just don't get it. And if you're, if you have some sort of animation on the screen or something to add to the experience, then sure, that's great. But that's a lot of work. I've never even understood the whole like Joe Rogan, like it's just a camera in the studio and or different, multiple cameras, and I don't really get it. And to me, it's kind of pulling away from the podcast experience.
And the whole theater of the mind too. I mean, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. We don't talk enough about that. Just from a marketing perspective, because what we do is a marketing tool, so it needs to work. It needs to it needs to do its job. Otherwise, it's not a good marketing tool. There's a really great study that was put out by the BBC. It's called BBC Audio Activated, and I believe it was about 2019 that it came out. And what the study said was that when you listen to a podcast and there are marketing messages within that podcast, because you're doing other things, typically washing the dishes or walking the dog or going to the gym, that actually helps the marketing message absorb better. It actually, the recall and the retention and the brand affinity and all those sorts of things, they all go up actually. Because just sort of the science behind it is that there's a lower, a more fuel efficient way absorbing the information, the brain absorbing the information.
It's kind of an osmosis. Against
everything we've ever known about marketing messages and the barrage of marketing messages that we see on a daily basis is the more clutter, the less absorption. And in this case, if it's done through audio and it's done through a podcast that's a little bit more intimate and on your own time and you're a lot more focused, it works better.
That's a great point. That is a great point. I'm very much into the theater of the mind. And one thing I wish we could do, I wish there was a cheap and easy way to do ASCAP so that little guys like me could do some needle drops without getting sued or something like that. So I can't do that. And I realize that this being more of a business oriented podcast, I don't get too fancy or too funky because that's not why people are listening for this. Exactly. But my other show is more about creativity and writing. And every now and then I do some weird stuff And we do a Halloween episode every year. That's fun.
Love it.
That's just fun. Roger Dern, how do people get a hold of you if they would like to talk to you about their plans for podcasting?
Yeah, the best thing to do is go to jaraudio.com. We're we're navigating this podcast world ourselves. You know, we recognize that the world is changing every day, and this industry is taking off, but it's very much still kind of being built as we fly it. And so it's a great resource to go to. We've got a great blog where we share a lot of what we've learned. We've got some resources on there, webinars, but you can also check out some of the podcasts that we've produced. And please, of course, reach out to us if you have any questions at all. We're happy to talk. We're always happy to talk.
This has been insightful and far from a jarring experience, Roger. It's been good. I've learned a lot, and I know there's so much more you could offer. But yeah, I do invite everybody to go to that. We'll have a link in the show notes. And Roger, thanks so much for appearing here in the virtual lounge.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, you know what that means? Looks like it's last call here at your virtual lounge for PR news, views, and interviews. Don't forget, you can ask me a question anytime. You can do it through our Twitter account, which is @OursPR. Or, even better, you can send me a message vocally. I would love to hear your voice, and I'll answer it on the show. There's a link in the show notes. All you have to do is sign up through Anchor FM. It's free, doesn't take long. And you record your message, I get the message, I will play your audio, just give me your first name and the city you live in, and then I will answer the question to the best of my ability right here on the show. Don't forget, too, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can support it and help increase the frequency and value of the show. Just consider being a sponsor for your brand or your agency or just yourself because you're like, I like this show. Or just drop a few coins in the virtual tip jar. Either way, there's links in the show notes. Please check that out. All of that, of course, being in the show notes where you're listening right now or at prafterhours.com. I see that they're turning up the lights. Last call is over, and I've got to clean up this virtual lounge. And until next time, I'm Alex Greenwood, and you've been listening to PR After Hours on Anchor FM.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But have you been there, done that, and got the t-shirt? Now's your chance. If you are a big fan of the Virtual Lounge right here at PR After Hours, why don't you tell the world and take our spiffy logo and plaster it across your chest for the whole world to see? Well, for the whole world to see on Zoom or whenever you do finally get out of your house. The PR After Hours tee shows that you're an exclusive member of the Virtual Lounge. It's a cool, comfortable, ring-spun, soft cotton tee. We look for the best possible options we could go for in these t-shirts, and it's in a variety of colors. You can get them in dark heather gray, royal blue, storm, maroon, or good old-fashioned white. These are really comfortable shirts. We offer a premium unisex tee from extra small all the way to 4XL, and a women's slim fit tee, which goes from small to 2XL. They are a hoot. They look cool, and besides, they'll do what we love to do most here at PR After Hours: start a conversation. The PR After Hours t-shirt is available now on Bonfire. The link is in the show notes, and I hope you'll look into getting one. I not only think they look cool and be great conversation starters, but they'll help us keep the virtual lounge doors open. Thanks so much.